Well, good morning, all. We're going to continue our journey through Mark's Gospel. And this morning we're looking at chapter 6, verses 53 onwards. Jesus has just been feeding the 5,000. This follows on from that. Starting at verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea. He was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it's I. Do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, marvelled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. When they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick, to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Amazing piece of scripture. So Jesus had just fed the 5,000, and it wasn't just a snack, but the Bible tells us that all were satisfied, and there were loads of food left over and collected up. And I think Mark challenges us here in the chapters of this gospel to believe, as the followers of Jesus, the unbelievables, to expect the unexpected. The feeding of the 5,000 was the first challenge. I'm sure you don't think that's what the disciples expected. Jesus then made the disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side of the lake. He stayed behind on land to send the multitude away. It's interesting, isn't it? The folk didn't rush away. They wanted to stay behind and talk with Jesus. They'd had a good meal and were obviously in no hurry to leave. This was truly someone very special. I do wonder what went through the disciples' minds at this time, leaving Jesus there, having seen the miracle of the food, and leaving Jesus all alone with his huge crowd, and them all going off together in a boat. After sending the folk on their way, notice what Jesus did. He went up to the mountain to pray, probably towards 3 a.m. in the morning. Like to other occasions we read about in the scriptures, it was nighttime and a lonely place. Again, as we see through all the Gospels, the importance of prayer. Jesus' relationship with the Father was daily and secure. And I think that's a real lesson for us too, to make sure that we maintain our daily relationship with God the Father. If Jesus did so much more, we ought to, shouldn't we? It's a challenge for us. Darkness fell. It's between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. The boat was in the middle of the lake. Jesus was alone on the land. In the semi-darkness, after he prayed, Jesus could see the disciples struggling out in the boat, struggling because of the high wind. He came to them walking on the sea. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Jesus came to them walking on the sea. Certainly not what the disciples expected. They all thought that Jesus was a ghost, as you could imagine. I mean, how can anyone walk on water? They seem more worried by his presence than they had been by his absence. And I think it's a warning to us when we feel abandoned. Christ does not abandon us. So often we think, you know, that he does, but he doesn't. He never abandons us. Christ is with us. Fact is, we don't often recognize the fact. We need to be alert, especially when we're struggling with things of life or what's happening or what's going on. Look at the disciples in the boat. When they were without Jesus, they were in trouble. The same is true, I believe, for each one of us. we try and go through life without Jesus, I think we are in trouble. It is Jesus who calms the storm. It's Jesus who brings resolutions and things happening. It's Jesus who comes to you and to me. Seeing Jesus frightened them, and they cried out. Immediately Jesus spoke to them to cheer them up. Don't be afraid, it's me. He got into the boat, and the wind dropped. Amazing. Again, raises for me the question, what would you have done in that situation? What had gone through your mind? Imagine you being in the boat. It's incredible, isn't it? I can't imagine what was going on in the disciples' minds at that time. It was unbelievable. It's not something that anyone would have expected. They'd struggled enough with the feeding of the 5,000. But now, Jesus walking on the water. Wow. Verse 51 tells us they were greatly amazed and marvelled beyond measure. Not surprising. It was not something they thought could ever happen. It certainly wasn't something that they expected. Again, I think it's a word of encouragement to us, for all of us. God knows where we are. He knows what we're feeling. He knows what we're feeling at this very minute. He knows when we're struggling. He's always there with us. We may not be aware of it, but he is. And I claim the promise from Scripture, and as Christians I believe we can all claim this, where God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Claim it for yourselves. So often we struggle on in our own strength and we don't think about turning to the Lord and asking for help. Go and ask for help. It's interesting, with Jesus on board, he and his disciples then crossed the lake and came to Gennesaret, where they anchored. Jesus was immediately recognized. People came rushing over to meet with him. They carried their sick folk on beds. They laid them out in the street, in the marketplace, begging Jesus to allow them just to touch the hem of his garment. We read that as many as touched him were instantly healed. Amazing. Unbelievable, isn't it? Incredible. All who touched Jesus were healed. Very unexpected. Question is, do you believe it? What is Mark telling us here? This is no ordinary doctor, no ordinary healer, no ordinary prophet in that sense, but the divine Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ. Hallelujah. All who touched Jesus were healed. Totally unexpected. There was no healing service going on. There's no worship group. There's no singing and dancing. No rabbis. No baptisms taking place. No temple priests. Only Jesus. That's all who we need, isn't it? Only Jesus. And here too is the challenge. Where is your faith? What are your expectations? What is the church's expectations here and now? Is our trust in the church, the pastor, the elders, the deacons, people generally? Where is your faith in Jesus at this moment? Do we come to Jesus in absolute faith and complete trust in him about what he can and will do? What are our expectations here today, this morning? Have we come to meet with Jesus? Have we just come because we usually come on a Sunday? What are our expectations? Do you expect to meet and hear from Jesus today? I don't believe God is ever silent. And the Bible tells us that also. Expect to hear Jesus speaking to us today in our hearts, in our lives, in what we're thinking, what we're doing. And it's a complete waste of time putting our faith in anyone or anything else. One thing is 100% certain. Money, stocks and shares, pension schemes, properties, governments, elections, gambling, possessions, pastors, people. All these things will let us down. All of them will let us down and disappoint us. Jesus will not. And so often we turn to so many of those other things, ignoring Jesus and what he can and will do. Now I know that there are some theologians who like to argue and dispute Mark's account, saying, well, it didn't actually mean all were healed. Maybe just a few, one or two. It's just the Easter way of saying something. They try and argue it away like that. The same theologians say the same thing about Jesus walking on the water. Perhaps it wasn't very deep there. Perhaps there were some stepping stones. It's repeated time and time again. But it's not what I believe. If the Bible says all who touched Jesus were healed, I believe it. It's a challenge, isn't it? Either we believe the word of God or we don't. Nowhere in Scripture do we find anything that allows us to discard the passages we don't understand or don't like or question, or passages we struggle with. It's about our faith, our understanding, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no case in the Bible for ditching passages that challenge us. A friend of mine was making the same point in Eastbourne a while ago, and this accusation was shouted out. You know your problem, you're a fundamentalist. Do you believe everything that the Bible says? It was shouted out as if it was some sort of a disease or something, you know. It's true, though. That's what goes on. I'm sure that neither the 5,000 nor his disciples expected Jesus to feed the crowd. I'm sure the disciples did not expect or even believe Jesus could walk on water. I'm sure they didn't expect Jesus to be healing loads of people when they landed. This leads on to a question, though, for us. What are our expectations? What do we believe? And we, like the disciples, are simply invited to come to Jesus, put our faith in him and trust him, and accept salvation for our souls, now and for the days to come. I pray that all of you have invited Jesus into your lives. If not, know this. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart, knocking now, waiting to be invited in. And he always gives us a choice. He doesn't come barging in. He gives us a choice. I think it's important to give him that free rein in our lives. Or are we going to limit our understanding of who he is and what he can do? What are our limitations? When we pray, do we expect God to hear? Do we expect to listen for an answer? When we pray for healing, do we believe that God can? When we pray, do we expect God to answer? I believe that today God wants us, as a church of believers, to raise the whole level of our expectations about what he can and won't do. We pray regularly, don't we, for the 90 or so BBFC footballers. I wonder how many of us expect God to answer that prayer. What do you think? Maybe one? Two? Five? More? What do we expect? God wants us, I think, to realize just who it is we're praying to. God made the world and everything in it. When you balance that against what we're asking God to do, these are very small things, aren't they? Think again about the creation of the world and everything in it. If that is the God we worship, what are these other things worth thinking about? When we're praying, we need to remember who it is we're praying to, what he can do. We have to raise our level of expectations. Expect to see people come to faith. Expect some of these footballers to come walking through the doors. They're wanting to give their lives to Jesus. God calls us to be an expectant people, I believe. What do we expect? The disciples did not expect Jesus to feed the crowd. They didn't expect Jesus to walk on water. They didn't expect Jesus to heal loads of people. The disciples didn't expect Jesus to leave the earth, to go to heaven, to be with God the Father. My prayer is that this passage from Mark's Gospel raises our level of expectations. And for us to remember just who it is we're praying to. We're not praying to an empty room, or to a pastor, or to a priest, or something else. We're praying to Jesus, the divine Son of God. Yes. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Jesus, Lord of Lords. Wow. We need to raise our level of expectations and get a new vision of just who God is. It's a real challenge. It's so easy, I think, for us to be so comfortable and come along, but not take it any further. And God calls us, I think, to say, come on, wake up. God is a great big God. He loves us. He cares for us. And he answers our prayers. God calls us to, I think, come afresh to him. It is as Jesus said when they were amazed, don't be afraid, it's me. It's the same Jesus we can turn to. I want us to pray now. If we can just put up one prayer, can we? Can we all see that? Yep. Let's pray it together. God, please enlighten my mind with truth. Inflame my heart with love. Inspire my will with courage. Enrich my life with service. Pardon what I have been. Sanctify what I am. And water what I shall be. Amen. The final short prayer. Lord, give me strength in my weakness. Give me faith in my fear. Give me power in my powerlessness. I'm trusting you. Amen.